Welcome to Wednesday Night Worship at First Baptist. Tonight's speaker is Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
Let's pray together. Lord, now through your word and by your spirit, speak to our hearts. Transform us by the renewing of our minds. Make us more like Jesus, for it's in his precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. Well, full disclosure, I am filming this on Tuesday. So in the wake of a national election and elections at every level of government, I have no idea at this point what has happened between now and Wednesday night at 6:30 when we are airing this service. There's all sorts of possibilities. We may not have any idea given all the COVID realities with polling and things of that nature. But what we do know is this: the tension that has led to this moment and the tension that I'm sure remains in this moment in the wake of a worldwide pandemic and in the wake of all the other questions that are being asked right now. I wanted to take us to a passage in Scripture that reminds us how those of us who trust and follow Jesus are to navigate these days. How do we navigate uncertain days, recognizing that certainty is coming? Ultimately, we know that at the end, all things are consummated in Christ, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And so how do we navigate these days with our eyes fixed on Jesus? Well, here's how we navigate these days with our eyes fixed on Jesus, and he gives us the way to do that. You may remember a song that was released in the mid-1960s. It was first released by Jackie DeShannon, and it was written by Hal David and Burt Bacharach, and it's "What the World Needs Now Is Love, Sweet Love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of." And I think most of us are familiar with that song. It was actually written, the lyrics, by Hal David as he was driving into work, and it was written as a conversation with the Almighty that, you know, we don't need another mountain, but we need love. And I don't disagree with the sentiment of the song, but I think what the artists were pushing for was something even deeper than perhaps where they got. They were pushing for some sort of transcendent reality that would unify the world around the way that God calls the world to be unified. Unified in love, but that love must be found in God. And God has revealed his love to us by sending his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That God is love, the Bible tells us, and God has shown his love as his Son laid down his life for us. For greater love has no one than this, than that he lay down his life for his friends. And so I want to give you this theme tonight: what the world needs now is Christ in you. What the world needs now is Christ in you. And remember, I don't know what the outcome of any election was. I don't know what the outcome of Tuesday and now into Wednesday has been. But I can promise you that what the world needs from you and me is that we would live out our faith in Jesus Christ, and as we trust and follow him and are indwelt by his Holy Spirit, what the world needs is to see him in and through us. In the Apostle Paul's letter to the Colossians, in the third chapter, he gives some very straightforward recommendations about how to live out this faith and how to allow Christ in us to shine through. So look with me at Colossians chapter 3. We're going to start with verse 1. And remember, our theme is this: what the world needs now is Christ in you. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Colossae as he was carried along by the Holy Spirit, saying this: "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Tonight's first point is this: set your mind on Christ. Set your mind on Christ. The author of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 that we are to fix our eyes on Jesus and run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. That we fix our eyes on Jesus. And Paul writes to the church at Colossae to set your mind on Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't pay attention to what's going on in the world around us. And that doesn't mean that we don't seek to make a positive difference in what's going on in the world around us. But it means that our first focus is on Jesus, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I had an awakening moment as I was running last night and listening to a podcast by John Eldridge. And he said, I want you to think about the scope of eternity and think about looking back at this season of life from the new heavens and the new earth when all is consummated and all is right and every tear is wiped away from our eyes and there is no suffering, there is no pain, there is only the presence of God and the pure joy of dwelling with Him. And if you look back on this season in your life, how will you hope or wish that you had lived it? Well, if that's how you wish you had lived it, why don't you live it that way now? Why don't we live in the quiet and gentle confidence that our God is on the throne and nothing has knocked Him off of His throne? Do you remember that time Jesus panicked? I don't either. It's because it doesn't exist. There's never a time in the life and ministry of Jesus when He panicked. Panic means that you're uncertain about the future. Panic means that you don't know what's going to happen. And while you and I don't know exactly how things are going to play out, we know the one who does. And we know the sovereign ruler of the cosmos. And so when the storm is raging around us, if we will set our minds on Christ and fix our eyes on Jesus, we can have the sort of confidence that Jesus had during His life on earth and His earthly ministry. As the storm raged around Him, where was He in the boat? He was asleep. He wasn't concerned about the storm because He knew that ultimate victory was His and the storm would pass. When the woman who was caught in sin was there in the midst, and all of those people were accusing her, Michael Card puts it so well. He says that at once Jesus stooped and became the calm eye of the storm. And just as He became the calm eye of the storm then, so also can He become the calm eye of the storm now. And if you're a follower of Jesus, He dwells in you. And you and I are called to usher in that peace that passes even the understanding of our current moment. But to do that, we have to set our minds on Christ. That's exactly what Paul is calling us to do. And as we set our minds on Christ, there are some behaviors that emerge as we seek the things that are of God and put to death the things that are of earth. Look with me now at verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self and its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. Hither is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. So the second point that I would give us tonight is this: lay aside fleshly habits. Lay aside fleshly habits. And that's what Paul is commanding here as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit. Don't allow your flesh to have control. And right now, your flesh may be rising up in you in so many ways. Put those things to death. Allow them to be crucified because you're not who you used to be anymore. No, the old is gone, the new has come. You are a new creation in Jesus Christ. And so live as that new creation in Jesus Christ. Right now, the temptations are so real. The temptations toward rage and anger and malice and slander. The temptations are so real. And God says that's not part of who you are as you follow Jesus. Now put those things aside, because as we indulge those things, all we're doing is making the enemy happy. All we're doing is playing right into His hand, and that is not part of who we are as children of God, those who trust and follow Jesus. So we put those things to death, recognizing there's no victory in those things. How are you handling whatever the news cycle is right now? If it's not going your way, are you panicked? Are you wringing your hands saying, God, where are you? What's ever going to happen? Don't wring your hands. God is firmly aware of what's going on. Or if it is going your way, are you trying to rub people's noses in it? See there, you got what you deserved. No, that's not the attitude of Christ either. We are the people of God, and we have to live that way. And that means we put to death some of our fleshly habits that are not of God. And that's not an easy thing to do, but by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, we are able to live that way. And that's the way we are called to live. So if we are called to lay those things aside, what are we called then to put on? Well, Paul's going to tell us. Look with me at verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Well, that's a challenging last line, isn't it? After God has called us to put on kindness and compassion and humility, all of the things that are endowed to us by the Spirit of God, He says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So, I tend to be sometimes simple-minded, but for me, I think about my thoughts, my actions, my words, my deeds. And you know, when we end our prayers, we pray in Jesus' name, meaning we are seeking to align our prayers with the will of God. And so we are coming to the Lord through our Lord, coming to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are seeking to align ourselves with God's will. That's why we say in Jesus' name. Well, what if after every word I spoke, I had to decide whether I could say in Jesus' name or not? Or what if after everything I did, I had to decide whether or not I could say in Jesus' name or not? In other words, am I actively seeking to do the will of God by the words that I say? Am I actively seeking to do the will of God by the things that I do? Am I actively seeking to do the will of God in the way that I treat other human beings created in His image? Am I actively seeking to do the will of God? And if I am, then I should be able to say in Jesus' name after everything I do. And if I hesitate to put Jesus' name on my words or my actions, then there ought to be some transformation there. Now, listen, I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to anybody else. I promise you. But if we're going to trust and follow Jesus, then He has given us a higher calling, a higher way of living. And that is the expectation that He has of us, that we would put to death things that are fleshly habits, but that we would dwell like Jesus. That's the third point. Live like Jesus. Live like Jesus. And one thing I noticed about Jesus in His ministry, even when He dealt with people who hated Him, He was never hateful. We're talking about a Savior who looked over a city that was about to crucify Him, and He wept over it. Did He pronounce woes to the Pharisees? Sure He did. He was seeking to jolt them into the awakening that they were living sinfully, even though they felt like they were so righteous. He had a big problem with those people who thought they had God all summed up and were living perfect. He said they were whitewashed tombs and dens of vipers, that they were making people twice the sons of hell, and he was trying to jolt them out of their religious complacency of thinking they had it all together to say, "You don't see God." But I challenge you, go read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You will not find a place where Jesus panicked, and you will not find a place where Jesus was hateful to anybody. So if we're the people who trust and follow Jesus, we ought to live like him. We ought to trust him. We ought to follow him. We ought to emulate him. What the world needs you, or what the world needs now, is Christ in you. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul wrote, "To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Christ in you is the hope of glory. And so I pray for those of us who trust and follow Jesus, that no matter what's going on in the world right now, and I'm preaching this on Tuesday afternoon, so I don't know what's going on in the world right now, but I do know that God is sovereign, and I do know that he has called us to live out the faith once for all delivered to the saints in a way that makes this world a better place. And I pray that by the power of his Spirit, we would do it well in Jesus' name. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you and we trust you, and we fix our eyes on you, and we run with perseverance the race marked out for us, recognizing that you are God over all, and Lord, that there is nothing that happens that knocks you back on your heels. So help us to trust you, and help us to follow you, and help us to live like Jesus, putting to death those fleshly habits that are not of you, but embracing and allowing the fruit of the Spirit to overflow through us to bless the world around us. And as we continue in this week, we join yet again our hearts and our minds and our voices together to pray that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray, and in so doing, we will answer the question, whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, and we hope you'll join us again Friday at 6:30 for Friday night virtual Vespers. We'll see you then.